3 years ago, tomorrow, terrorists flew airliners into the World Trade Center in New York, killing 2,752 people. Only a handful of survivors were pulled alive from the rubble. History will remember the remarkable response by ordinary citizens who rushed to try to help the official rescue effort. NPR's Chris Arnold has a story of one man who led rescuers to the last two police officers pulled from the rubble.
On that beautiful sunny morning on September 11th, Dave Carnes was working as an accountant in the Connecticut headquarters of Deloitte & Touche. As word spread of the attack on the World Trade Center and people in the office started watching TV coverage of the burning towers, Carnes headed back to his desk.
Back to my desk to think things out and pray. You know, I'm a born-again Christian, and I probably prayed, Chris, for a good 2 hours, and God put it on my heart to go down there.
Carnes was a former Marine Corps sergeant. He'd also been a police officer and worked in a steel mill making girders. He'd worked near the Trade Center and knew it well, so he felt like his whole life had been preparing him for this day. He went home and put on an old set of Marine Corps camouflage utilities that he kept pressed in his closet. He then took the time to get a short military-style haircut. That got him waved through all the roadblocks as he drove to Ground Zero. But by then, officials had ordered all the rescue workers off the pile because it was too dangerous. So Carnes grabbed another Marine Corps sergeant that he ran into, and they sneaked past the perimeter to search.
We just charged in. Once we broke through that wall of smoke, we could see the entire debris field. It was just such extreme carnage. And there were all kind of fires going on, and the towers to our right and left were collapsing. And the steel we were walking on was shifting around, and some of it was hot. It would melt the soles off of your boots.
The two men worked their way across the debris field, calling out for survivors. And as the sun was going down, they passed a sculpture, a giant bronze globe that had survived the attack. Carnes said he could feel that there was somebody alive nearby.
I just had an awareness that somebody was out there. And I yelled out real loud. I said, United States Marines, we can hear you. Yell louder. And we listened, and then we could hear way off in the distance down in that depression of the South Tower, we heard like some muffled responses.
They had found Port Authority Police Officer William Jimeno and Sergeant John McLaughlin. The two were trapped in an air pocket more than 10 feet down beneath the debris, with the fires edging closer to them. Carnes remembers hearing Jimeno's voice.
Please don't leave us. Please don't leave us. He was saying, we're hurt bad. You know, we're trapped. We're hurt bad. He said, I have a baby girl, and my wife's 7 months pregnant.
Carnes called for help on his cell phone. The first person to arrive was a former medic who also, amazingly, like Carnes, had thrown on his old uniform and rushed to Ground Zero. He was soon followed by NYPD Emergency Services Officer Scott Strauss. Strauss says they found a narrow hole in the rubble leading to Jimeno.
The hole we were crawling deeper into, that pile was on fire. And, you know, here I am crawling into it. And when we had to crawl about 30 feet down on an angle, and it wasn't like a tunnel. It was, you had to climb over stuff and around stuff and bend yourself around these huge I-beams, and there was stuff in our eyes, and every time we took a breath, it felt like there was glass shards in our lungs.
But Strauss and the medic worked for 4 hours, at times lying pressed stomach to stomach in that narrow hole, digging with their hands and a pair of handcuffs to slowly unbury Jimeno. And close to midnight, they finally freed him. Another team worked until dawn, digging out Sergeant McLaughlin.
All out!
We caught up with Dave Carnes at the Marine Corps' Camp Pendleton near San Diego. After September 11th, Carnes decided to re-enlist. He says he wanted to get to the fighting in Afghanistan, but the paperwork took too long. In the meantime, he started a fund to pay for American flags from Ground Zero to be sent to troops deploying overseas. And just 3 weeks ago, Carnes himself shipped out for Iraq. We spoke to him the day before he left. September 11th was still fresh in his mind, especially the thousands of messages and photos of the missing.
They had the little notes of desperation, you know, please find my husband or my daddy, you know, and or my wife, and all those pictures. And I just started that's what's tough to think about and even talk about now. it just reached inside and tore my heart out. I'm going over there for those people.
Thinking of those posters and signs can still bring tears to Officer Scott Strauss's eyes, too, as can his memory of visiting the man they saved, Will Gimeno, in the hospital.
He was in some shape. His arms were swollen. His face was swollen. His face was beaten up. He didn't look that bad in the hole. And he was hooked up to IVs, and the monitors were all over him. And Will tried to talk, and he couldn't. And he was struggling to say thanks. And I said, "Well, don't worry about it. You know, you will thank me later on. You know, you don't even have to thank me. You know, but you know, we'll talk later on. Just get better. You know, you'll be fine." He squeezed my hand.
Strauss stayed in touch with Will Gimeno, and he says that's been a bright spot despite all the grief he's felt over 9/11.
That makes, I think, 9/11 a whole lot easier for me, because I had a positive experience, as bad as that day was, losing 14 coworkers, and a lot of them were really good friends. I gave somebody back their family, and it was good. It definitely was good. His wife was pregnant, and she was due in November, and he got to see his girl, his little girl. And he invited my family to the christening. It was really fun. It was nice, and we're pretty good friends.
These days, Strauss has retired from police work because of an injury. On a recent summer evening at his home on Long Island, his kids were playing flashlight tag outside with their friends in the neighborhood. Strauss says since 9/11, he appreciates his family more, and to remind him to keep doing that and to remember those who were lost, Strauss doesn't wear a watch on his wrist. It fell off 3 years ago somewhere in that smoke-filled hole. He says he's never going to wear another one. Chris Arnold, NPR News.